Hello, you're listening to Franny and Co, the podcast, formerly Into the World Birth Story Podcast. Don't worry, there will still be birth stories shared here, but with the addition of women who inspire me, bit of a spoiler alert, all women inspire me. I'm just here to show a few of the best bits that I have picked up from women I've spoken to along my journey. I'm a mum of four, raising just three children earthside. I'm a content creator, founder of Care Club, the online mums meetup group. To hear more about what I'm about, if that even makes sense, give me a follow at Franny & Co and at Care Club with Franny on Instagram. Registration is now open for the classes I am running through my website, frannyandco.com. So go check me out. I'd love to hear from you. So send me a DM while you're there. Anyway, without further ado, I will get on to this week's episode. Okay, first of all, thank you for joining me, Leah. I feel like this has been like a bit of a long time in the making and we've both been busy, but it's so nice to sit down with you outside of a coaching session because you obviously have been coaching me for 3 months or so. And yeah, having a nice chit chat where there's no like, we have to get all this stuff done before the hour's up.
So, it feels like we've come full circle, doesn't it?
It really does. It's so amazing. It's been such an amazing journey. I was actually thinking about this when I listened to the podcast we did together, which started out as an IGTV. Was it like around June? I want to guess.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
I listened to it back and I was like, holy cow, that is like another lifetime, another realm I lived in. All the things that we've worked on together weren't even like a...
They weren't even a thought.
Twinkle in my eye. And I can't believe we've come to where we're at now, having gone through your coaching program and like looking for what's next. Having had a conversation that like almost makes no sense to my life now, you know?
This is why I love working with and being friends with people like you, because you just go and you do. And I'm a doer as well. Like when I have an idea about something, it's like, how do I make this happen? And how do I make it happen yesterday? And that's exactly what you've done. Yeah. So you came to me with some ideas. We just zoned in on it, got those to-do lists and those timelines and the schedules and the plans in order. And you just really minxed it.
I love that. Also, you was making me, in saying all that, you was making me realize that when we had our discovery call, we was like, okay, is this going to work? Like we're friends, we've supported each other through like different things we've done as projects. But I remember having this conversation and I was like, no, I'm coming to you because I know you're a doer. You know, I'm a doer. And all you saying all of that just reminded me of our discovery call where we're like, this is exactly what I need. I need someone to focus me, put my energy and the very little time I have to really good use.
I totally agree. And I also feel like people underestimate the power of accountability. And that really is what, right? That really is what coaches are there to do. And one thinks to themselves, okay, what am I paying you money just to check in on me and like make sure I'm doing my stuff? Yes, pretty much. And a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. But as humans, we obviously have these grandiose ideas and we have these plans, but to stick to them because there's so much going on in our lives, especially if you're a mom, especially if you have kids that are younger and you're trying to launch something or work or do anything additional other than raising the children, it is very challenging. So you were so ripe for that process. You were like, okay, I know what I need to do. Let's just figure it out together and I'm going to go and do it. So it was a real pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. And I think it's also though, like a good partnership because coaching, it's like finding the right coach in the right realm and like at the right time for you and meeting you where you're at. And I think our partnership mm-hmm. in that was so perfect. But before we dive more into that, because I really want to talk about clarity with you, yes. Tell us a bit about who you are as a coach. Like, who is Leah? Because I came to meet you at Mumfest, I think it was 4 years ago, which is
mad. Yes. Insane.
Part of Mum Joe, which is so much about everything I love about you, is like your concept behind like finding yourself as a person outside of motherhood and that journey that you take us on with Mum Joe, finding Mum Joe. And that's how I met you basically as part of your partnership. But since then you've gone on to do your own business alongside that, which is coaching.
Yep.
Tell me more about who you are.
Gosh, where do I start? But basically, the best place to start is at my lowest point or my highest pain point in my life, which was for many years stuck in a, what I thought I was stuck in, a corporate job that really didn't fuel me, didn't motivate me, didn't give me the fulfillment that I really wanted and desired and knew I could have as a working adult. And for many years questioned what I should be doing with my life, especially when I grow up. And I always laugh about that, but it's true. It's since I was 16, 17 years old, I've always been questioning it. And circumstances in life and moving countries and having babies and getting promoted and climbing that corporate ladder, it all kept me within these constraints of a job that I enjoyed, but I really was not passionate about. And so my life's mission really was to find what it was that I was passionate about. And it took many years, but I got onto a personal growth journey, I would say, of somewhat, some sort. I was always interested in that kind of stuff, like reading books. I remember in my university years, I read a lot of books, Mutant Message Done and Chicken Soup for the Soul and Celestine Prophecy and The Alchemist and all those kind of books. So I was always interested and open to that kind of stuff, searching for more meaning and those kinds of concepts. And so when I became a mom, it became even more essential that I figured it out. Because as my kids got older, I was like, they're not only watching what I'm doing, they're hearing what I'm saying. And if I am in a job doing my job, but saying and acting like it doesn't really fulfill me and I don't really want to be there, I was like, what kind of a message am I sending to my children, let alone anybody else? So fast forward, started Mom Joe, absolutely loved it, loving it. It's been over 4 years with my partner, Carolina. It's just been fantastic and fun and amazing and creative and just like so many incredible opportunities have come out of it. And it really made me realize there is a way. There is a way to find things that are more enjoyable, more fulfilling, and that you can make money from. So my goal was always to always leave my corporate job and to find something where I could serve people, make an impact, and it could tick the boxes of the things that I was really passionate about. Mm-hmm. And so funnily enough, 2019, I went to Dallas to go in person to Rachel Hollis's Rise conference. And I follow a lot of these people on social media, the Tony Robbins, the Rachel Hollis, there's a bunch of them that I would follow and started reading books and started with the morning routine and a lot of different points along the way over the last 4 years. But then last year decided I'm going to Rachel Hollis, go to Rachel Hollis in June. I had already left my corporate job because there were some changes coming and I basically volunteered to be let go. And it was the best and most scariest time in my life. And then threw myself into Mom Joe full time, realized I needed to find something else in addition to that to really sustain everything that I wanted to do. Mm. And I think Rachel Hollis's conference was the time where I really just made a decision to do something that I always knew I wanted to do. I always knew I wanted to coach people. My biggest passion is people. I love helping people. I love being organized, being productive and helping them figure out their stuff. I've always been in marketing and obviously with social media and entrepreneurial. So I put it all into one bucket and I decided really now is the time. And my power word for 2019, and I know we discussed this and we have this in common, is it was clarity. To find clarity about what I wanted to do with myself and how I could show up and impact the world, I guess, with whatever it is that I was given to do in this lifetime. And I launched my coaching platform and started it officially in October. And so it's been over a year. So between Mom Joe and the coaching, I am living my best life. I don't know how else to say it. I really am. I've found it.
I feel like you can really see that, and I've followed you for 4 years. One, I think from seeing you, it feels like all the dots have been connected, like just seeing you, like everything's like flourished, like more in this time since I believe you've got clarity, and we'll probably talk about that a bit more. But also, I don't know if you feel this because I do, and having both had this as our power word for me for a much shorter period of time, you for longer, but it's something I could really resonate in your conversation then that I've been really seeking is clarity and purpose. And now do you feel like, this is how I feel, that when you get it, it's like everything just slots into place and you're like, why wasn't I doing all this before?
Oh my gosh, the number of times I've said that to my husband, it's crazy. But I also know that especially as a coach, I needed absolutely to have gone through those times of frustration and fear and like all the whole process. I needed to go through all of it to get to the point where I can show up now for people the way that I really want to. Because I had this idea when I lived in London before I even had children. So that's 10 years ago. My oldest is going to be 10. I heard wow. about life coaches. I heard about this concept. I looked into it. I was looking into doing a course. And you know what I did? I put it aside into another little box because it wasn't well known and it wasn't what people had heard of. And how do you make money from that? And what do you say? And I went and I did a course in nutrition because it was like so much more in a box and I could like understand it and digest it. Excuse the pun.
Also so, done yeah. a course in nutrition and personal training for those exact same reasons. I really hear you on that. And I think there's something else that resonated with you about like your whole journey. Like you're better prepared to do it now, but it's almost like been staring you in the face in a way.
Absolutely. Right there. It's so obvious. How did we not see this, right?
Yeah. And I think having known you, when you said you was going to be a coach and you like launched and announced this, it was like, obviously, like you've been coaching me indirectly every time we have a conversation.
That's so funny. And I really just got so much joy out of it. I would do it so naturally and I would walk away from people, whether it's talking about their business or something personal, not necessarily parenting related, but just anything where I felt like I could maybe help if they were open to it. And I would walk away just like on such a high from that. And I'll be like, I want to hear more. I want to know how it goes for them. I want to like touch base with them and hear what's going on. Sometimes even now with my clients, if I only speak to them every 2 weeks, I find like a week, 10 days after I've spoken to them, I want to know. And I text you all the time. I'm like, what's going on? How's it going? Tell me. I'm so interested.
Like, I miss you. I need to know what's happened this week.
Absolutely.
I love that. It's funny because you're just talking about vibing off the energy and like really taking that in. It wasn't necessarily my next question because I really want to talk to you about your morning routines because we both have a similar obsession there. But one of my questions was, how do you like keep your energy high? Because not to say like clients drains from you, but you know, I know some of your clients and like me being one of them and people just everybody having a story. A lot of your business has come to you in a pandemic. We're all like suffering in a differing wave. And everybody I think is seeking that. I want to help myself. That's why they're coming to you, right? But absolutely. How do you counterbalance that to keep yourself in a good place, I guess, is what I'm asking. Like, how do you protect your energy?
It's a really good question. And I love the way you phrased it, protect your energy. First of all, I will say that it's definitely not for everyone getting onto Zoom and showing up call after call where you have to, you really do need to be high energy because that's what people want from you and that's what they expect from you. Mm-hmm. But that is, I will say this, that is naturally me. I was that girl when I was circa 2001, I was in Thailand partying it up with my friends. I was 21 years old and I was the one dancing on the table at some corner like chicken store in Koh Phangan. I think it's called Chicken Corner. If you've been there, you know it. I was the one on the table at 3 a.m. and everyone was coming up to me and saying, and I was so naive, Fran, they would say to me, what are you on? Because I want some. And I'm like, what does that mean? I have always been just a natural extrovert getting energy from people and vibes and energy itself. And so I would start by saying that. So it is natural, but it's not for everyone. And then I will say that there are days where I will have a call and it hits me in the heart, like the trauma and the pain and the stuff that people are going through or the hard times. What I quickly remember is that I'm not there to sympathize and cry with them. And I'm not their friend in a way. Like I feel like friends take on a different role where you feel the pain and I feel it, but it is my role to really try and help them to get out of it. So I try to get really creative as to how I can try to help them to lift their energy. So my constant way of trying to lift myself is by trying to focus on the client and on the person rather than thinking about it for myself. And I will tell you one more thing. It doesn't happen to me often, but when I have back-to-back calls and it really takes my energy, it's happened once where I have gotten up from my desk. I think it was 4 Zoom calls, but like back-to-back, not a minute between. And I got up and I realized, oh, I feel like I need to just lie down for a second. And I walked over to my bed and, you know, like face planting, head down, I just fell onto my mattress and lay there for like 2 to 3 minutes. I just breathed, I calmed down, and I got up and like, what am I going to do? I've got to go parent 3 children. So off I went to pick them up from school. And I get tired at night. I have to say 9 o'clock is my expiry time. I tell my kids I've expired 9 o'clock. I'm done. I need to be in bed and I need to be quiet. Even my husband, I like hold his hand. He can watch his thing. He can do his thing. I'm watching my thing. We're like, shh. We're done.
It's super random, but you saying like you fell like completely down and like it physically took it out of you. I was thinking 2 things. That's a really physical reaction to like taking on people's energy, because I really believe that you can take on so much energy even through a Zoom call. Yes. I've only done coaching via Zoom.
Via Zoom, yeah.
And I don't feel like I missed out on anything of the experience. Obviously, I'd love to be side by side with you, but I feel like I got everything out of you that I needed from that. But the other thing that's super random, which I feel like you're going to have to do now on one of your accounts, I've seen this TikTok video where people like go flat and each time they flip on their bed, they change clothes.
I saw that.
And I feel like I've seen a few people do it. So as you were saying that, I was imagining you bit like falling down, like tired in
that's
your
it.
Like, outfit and then waking up in a business suit and being like, come on, back to coaching. Like, I mean business.
Oh, you've just given me a really good idea for an Instagram reel. Thank you.
So yeah, you're going to have to tag me in that one or something.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
The biggest reason I really wanted to talk to you, because this whole podcast that I've rebranded a bit is about women that inspire me and like why they inspire me and like what I take from that person at this moment in time, because I'm sure you'll go on to inspire me in other ways. And I feel like all women I come in contact with in some way inspire me, like in something they do, something they've been through. Like we've discussed many times, like everybody has a story.
Totally.
Everybody goes around saying, oh, but I'm not interesting because I didn't give birth whilst bungee jumping. You don't have to. Like, do you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be like so crazy. There's so much to gain from other people in somewhere along their story. So
yes. In the everyday little bits of this
story. There's so much I could delve into with you and our mutual experiences and all the things that you've come to inspire me over. But the one thing I've been taking away, I think probably since you started your coaching is, and I did a workshop with you probably a year ago. I think it was around Christmas. I was still pregnant.
Yes.
Literally probably like a year to now. And you did a Minx Your Morning, I think before you had the morning show. Like basically how to get your shit together in the morning.
Exactly.
We did a whole workshop on it. And I think that was probably part of what's inspired me to get so obsessed with my morning. I just got more focused on exactly what that is in the pandemic, because it's been my lifeline. So
oh my gosh.
My question to you is, how did you get into Minx Your Morning? How did that come to be? And what is your Minxy morning?
How do I Minx my mornings? Yeah. Okay. So first of all, I have to tell you that you talk about women inspiring women. Like I watch your Insta stories and I'm like, holy she, excuse me. I didn't know if we could swear on this podcast, but anyway, I don't think it's you, right? Away. I look at what you're doing. And I used to be that person that would drive down the street in the rain and look at someone else running in the rain and think, how on earth are they running in the rain? That's ridiculous. Or see someone running in minus 13 and think, how are they running in minus 13? That is insane. And then I just did it. And I was that person that would run in the rain or run in minus 13 or whatever it is. And I actually realized it's not, the perspective is so different when you're doing it versus watching someone do it. So when I watch your stuff, I am like blown away. And then I remind myself, hold on a sec. Okay. Like I'm not getting this like comparison competition thing. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to go into the lake like you are in a few days time, but I am so freaking inspired and I take it as motivation. And this is how my process started, because I, years ago, after my third child, I realized that something had to change. If I wanted to be the person that I really want to be and believe I can be, and the parent that I want to be, and the way I want to wake up and have my day and everything, it all revolved around one thing. And that was my morning routine. And I would hear it from all the greats and all the CEOs and the Oprahs and the pretty much anyone who's anyone would always say, I've got this power morning routine. I wake up an hour before everybody else and this is what I do. And there were variations.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine in London, actually, she's South African, but she lives in London. She said to me that her twin sister read this book called The Miracle Morning. And I was like, what is it? And I said, I want to wake up early. I just don't know how to do it. And I don't know what to do because I'm such such a night person and so not a morning person. And she said her sister read this book and loved it. It's called The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. Or if I go to Amazon, buy the book, start to wake up a little bit early just to read it. Very easy read. And honestly, that was it. Like the concept of carving out that time and then filling it with what suits you and customize really your morning routine is absolutely crucial. You should not be waking up and doing what other people are doing. You have to figure out what works for you. It's like putting together an outfit. It's what suits you, what looks good, what feels good. This doesn't mean throw it out. Exactly. It changes with seasons, with times. I was in such a solid morning routine before COVID, like middle of winter, 2019, 2020.
Same.
Freaking minus 25 outside or something. 5:45, I was up at the gym on that treadmill at 6 o'clock because the gym is right next door.
I remember like, watching you when I just had a baby and I was like, oh my God, I like need to get back to that. I think it really resonated with me what you said about, for me, it's not about comparison or like everybody has to get up at five or they're doing a shit job. It's really for me about being like, okay, it's possible. She did it. Like you have three kids. Yes, they're older than mine, but I was like, if she does it, I can do it. You're motivating me, not like making me feel bad I didn't do it. But then I think some of that's in the delivery of how the person is doing it, because I'm conscious to be mindful of that as well. But also, it's not prescriptive. And I've done your Minx Your Morning pregnant. And at the time I used to get up, I didn't exercise at all. I'd like totally given up on that. I couldn't barely move. But I used to get up, journal, write my to-do list, do all the stuff around the house, and listen to a podcast. And I think probably a few other things that like you used to talk about as one of the many things you could choose.
One of the things you can choose as the menu options. Yes, exactly. Yes.
So yeah, I think my point is that it's not prescriptive. It's about what you want. And in these times, I think you could get up and like do some painting or whatever, like whatever brings you joy right now.
Like if you could have just seen my face when you said like walking around your house, listening to a podcast, like my jaw dropped because I realized that in that, like that silence and that calm and that time to yourself before you have a nudge on the shoulder, mommy, can I have breakfast? Can I watch TV? Can I do this? Can I, you know what I mean? Waking up on the defense like that is just not on. But I will tell you that I find that, as you said, everybody goes through phases and stages with their morning routine. It's something that a lot of people feel like they could never do because they're just not a morning person. It's not the case. I am living proof of it. And in the moment, I'm going through a phase where I'm not up as early as I'd like to be on a daily basis. I'm trying to be kind to myself about it. But the truth is, I know that I want to get back to it. It's a core value of mine. And on the days when I do it, they are so much more remarkably better than the days that I don't. It is incomparable.
Yeah. It's like night and day for me. Like I can't even describe how different it is, but that feeling is what gets me out of bed because again, I could stay up till like 3 a.m. and not feel tired. Yeah. I could also lay until lunchtime and still feel tired. So it's a real conscious effort that I'm like, no, go to bed. You'll regret this. But I'm so motivated by that feeling that you just described of that day is going to feel so good after having completed my morning routine because it's all for me. It's not in spite of me, it's for me.
It's not exactly. And knowing that your entire day will look different. The whole day for that 1 hour or that 30 minutes versus the rest of the other 23 hours or 23 and a half hours of the day, really, it can make or break. It's that simple.
Oh my God, my mood. Sometimes my husband's like, oh, did you not go this morning? Did you not get up this morning? Because he wakes up later. And I'm like, actually, no, you're right. I didn't go. And it's really obvious. But I actually find it borderline exhilarating because I get such like a rush from having completed it all, from doing stuff for myself, from the joy it brings me. Like all of those feelings bring me like some form of exhilaration that's like a natural high for me.
That's so true. And then it feeds on, it goes on to the next day. Absolutely. Totally agree.
But I'm the same as you. I think we've talked about this a lot before that my morning routine only happens because of my nighttime routine, which is organizing the shit out of my morning the night before.
Amen. So you asked, that first masterclass was my very first masterclass that I ever did.
I remember, coaching.
And it's still my most popular in terms of like whenever I talk about it, people ask questions, people want to join. And I called it Minx Your Morning because I always use this word minx. I must have made it up or thought about it many, many, many years ago. All my friends from growing up, they all know that I have certain words that I use for certain terms. And it just means like to get done, like to really make it happen, to minx something. I want to minx this project. It means I want to just do it and do it really well. And yeah. So Minx Your Morning was just so naturally normal for me to name it that. And I would talk about it. And then I said, do you guys want to know like what it's about based on what I had read and what I had tried and how I had tried to figure it out? Because some people say you should meditate in the morning. And I'm like, that is the exact opposite of what I want to do. When I'm trying to minx my morning, I do not want to meditate because it puts me to sleep. I want up. I want energy. I want vibe. I want to feel good. I created that masterclass with the menu of options because you really do need to customize it for yourself. And yes. So you're busy doing what you're doing in the morning and I see it. I really try to get my workout in. It's a game changer because it's not just having the time for myself. It's getting my heart rate up, having the sweat, doing the exercise, doing the workout changes my mood entirely. And I really like to get, there are a few other elements that in my ideal morning, I like to get done. And that's the gratitude, the goal setting, my to-do list, my priority post-it note that I prepare for like the day that I know exactly what I'm doing for the day. And ideally, I would love to do some reading as well because, and not just reading a random book, it's something that I'm learning about or interested in at the moment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a bit of work if I have the time or if I need to. It really is just whatever is in that moment. But the most important thing, and before I forget this, I'm going to say it, you have to have a plan for what that morning is going to look like from the night before. Or the week before, or the month before. Because if you don't have a plan and you just think to yourself, oh, I'm getting up early and the alarm goes off, your mind is going to think, but what are you going to do with this time? And you can just stay in bed. Oh, maybe you can snooze another 10 minutes. But if you have a solid minute by minute plan of what that hour or half an hour is going to take up, you are 99% more inclined to get up and make it happen.
I 100% agree. And that's people are like, oh, you've got so many little kids. And I'm like, yeah, but I have their breakfast lined up. So like when I come back, I have my clothes, I sleep in my clothes. I'm a bit extreme. I sleep in my clothes, my shoes are by the door, my gloves are by the door, my AirPods, earphones, whatever, they're by the door. I have my clothes out that I'm going to change into after the shower. I have all the kids' clothes lined out. I remember you telling me,
the kids
by the door.
Not even a question. You should see what my entrance looks like. Everything is laid out in winter on the floor. Coat, boots, gloves, hats, everything. Upstairs mm-hmm. in their rooms, they're all, my son is 10. And I don't care what anyone says about this. I put his clothes out the night before. I put my 8-year-old's clothes out. And my 4-year-old, actually, I don't because she dresses herself and she's very easy. She knows, she chooses. It's very simple. But the boys would always be like, they'd come downstairs, half pajamas, half clothes. I don't have socks. He took my underwear, like, because they share a room. And yeah, I'm like, yeah. I'm going to just eliminate any of these potential issues. And the same with the snacks and the lunches. But I have to just ask you a quick question. Podcast or no podcast, friend to friend, I'm going to ask you, how do you sleep in a sports bra? Let's just talk about that for a second.
First of all, small boobs don't move much. I often wear, that's huge. I don't know. I don't feel that uncomfortable in the ones I wear. So for me, it's like the effort to put it on in the morning, even if it is like literally by my bed, is another barrier. And I know. The elimination and the barrier for me is I need to get up and think about nothing, get out, don't change my mind, and then it's done. Like that's what I need to do. For me, nothing will happen after I do that. So that process is the most important because once I get back, I'll attack the to-do list. I'll do all the things I want just supernaturally. It's easy. But if I have any, I don't know, and I agree with you on the meditation, my invitation to you would be you have to try Wim Hof's breathing because it's like meditation, but it's invigorating, it's energizing, it won't put you to sleep, and it takes 4 minutes. So that's something I do instead. But I had the same issue. I tried to meditate and I'd be like, sleep again. And the other thing, I'm stealing the term from several things that have come up in my life recently, is rising fierce.
Fierce. I'm on it with you, girl. I'm on it with you. I saw it through you.
Oh my gosh. So this whole idea of rising fierce with a community of women, whether you're doing it virtually, like knowing that there's another woman in your circle getting up at the same time. And I actually put a WhatsApp group together for some women who just wanted to wake up. You should join.
My goodness. My mouth is wide open. Yes, please.
Okay, maybe this is how you're going to be accountable for getting up in the morning. It was just like a wake up thing. And then I saw this rise fierce and I was like, no, we're like a group of women, all with kids, all trying to take some time back. And going back to your point earlier, like reclaiming part of the day for us to set up the life we want. I was like, that is fierce. That's not a wake up group. Like, that sounds lame. We're rising fierce and makes your morning. That's what we're doing. We're going to get it. We're not just waking up at six.
Anyone can wake up at six. Yeah.
And lie in bed all day. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just not what I'm subscribing to.
I totally agree with you. What really got me into it, you've just reminded me, is that with a very close friend of mine who was on the same path as I was, the girl that actually went with me to Rachel Hollis's conference in Dallas, when we came back from that, we were like, we're doing it. And so we used to text each other in the morning when we woke up. And there is something so psychologically powerful about that. So that WhatsApp group that you're dealing with and that you've created, I am in.
You're straight off, adding you straight off this call. Amazing. And it's just nice to just, I feel like in a world right now in the pandemic where we're seeking so much connection, it's just like a little way of having like a window into someone's world that's different to just seeing them show up on the internet. It's like you get the interaction. And absolutely. There's something quite nice about that, because I think there's so much power in community and so much power in like the spirit of what women do. Yeah.
Yay. Thank you.
I really love this chat. I think it's been so nice to talk to you. It's been so nice to connect on the things that we both love at the moment. And I know you have a call to go to after this, but I have three finishing questions. Although I did, as you were talking about books and the book you was referencing, I've just forgotten the name in reference to Morning.
The Miracle Morning by Hal
Miracle Elrod. Morning. And maybe you're going to say this, but I've been thinking a lot about, like, same as you, before anything, like all the books I've read are a version of a self-help book, whether they're an autobiography of like someone from struggle to like triumph, or a celebrity that's come from nothing. And like, I've read a lot of Tony Robbins's like actual books about himself, or whether it's like The Secret or whatever. I feel like we have always joked in my family that if me and my sister had a bookshelf, it would be borderline embarrassing, because it's just like a list of self-help books. It's like,
of self-help.
Okay. Yeah, it would be like, what problems have they had over the years? Here we go. Let's have a look. But what is your book? Funny. What is your self-care book that has changed your life?
How can I choose one? I have a whole, literally a stack right here. Okay, I can give you a few quick ones that I've really loved from the past year. Because one of my goals, by the way, one of my goals, and I'm massive into setting goals. One of my goals is and was to read more. And that takes the form of audiobooks too. Judge all you like, but I love them. And I work out. Right? I work out with them at the same time. So I do two in one, double whammy, the best. And so I find that I also get a lot done in terms of my reading, and it makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. So I have taken on a lot of books this year. I loved Marie Forleo's Everything is Figureoutable. I loved Glennon Doyle's Untamed.
Oh my God, I read that too.
I want to highlight one or two books that aren't on everyone's bestseller list. I'm going to quickly open up my Audible.
I was going to say though, while you're doing that and looking for that, you told me to listen to Big Magic.
Big Magic.
And that was before the idea of coaching together was even a twinkle in my eye. Like, if there was a twinkle. And I feel like that really turned around my year, because I am a creative person. And I realized I've been suppressing it for so long, because I was like, there's no money in that. Or I was like, it's not going to bring me the things I want. And everything about that opened up my mind. And I don't think you can understand it without reading. But I urge you, if you're a creative listening to this, or really you're anybody looking for clarity and purpose in your life, because I feel like we all have creativity in us, even if you're an accountant or like something that seems...
Yeah, you have to be crafty. Creative is different. I agree with you. So, I remember reading that book and literally it was bursting out of me to contact you and be like, you have to read this book. It is an absolute gift.
It really is a gift. I feel like it was like one of those books like The Secret, where if you've never come to anything like that, it's like a whole new world to you. Like, it felt like that for me.
Yeah, and the way she wrote it was such an experience. It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and I listened to it in the summer, so it was really like magical going on a run in the summer and like listening to it. But anyway.
I love those memories. You. That's such a good point. Anything by Robin Sharma I've really loved. So The 5 AM Club or The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. If you've never read those, they are outstanding. Next one I would say is More Myself by Alicia Keys. That is an experience.
Yes.
Of note, whether you like her or not, whether you like singing or not, it doesn't matter. It is soulful. It is beautiful. It is inspiring, right? It is really an experience. So I remember that from my runs. I used to go on a specific route while I was listening to that book. And now it just brings me all the good feels. Big Magic, for sure. I really loved Mel Robbins' 5-4-3-2-1, the 5-second rule.
Oh, I haven't read that.
Oh my gosh. You will love it. You will love it and you will love her. And then I would also say, I talk about this all the time, but The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. Very interesting.
Okay. I think I got halfway through that. I dip in and out of things sometimes.
That's fair enough. I like that. And last but not least, I did read recently and started off suspicious and skeptical, but I continued and I really enjoyed it at the end. And that is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a by Mark Manson. And it was really interesting. I liked the quirkiness of it. And it's not just the basic premise of just not caring. There's a very important message in it. And yeah, it was a fun read.
Yeah, I read that really quickly, but I probably read it about a long time ago now. At least it feels like a long time ago. Okay, my finishing questions are to you. When I need to recharge, I fill in the blank.
When I need a recharge, I eat.
That can be fine. No, actually, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you all three questions. You can pause to think about it, and then you can go. So when I recharge, I self-care for me looks like blank. If I could give just one piece of advice, it would be blank. So
I'm starting with the first one. What was it again?
When I need to recharge, I
get into bed early. I watch a show that is uplifting and not like just light and chilled. And I relax like that when I need to recharge. Yeah, I just need to have silence and lie down and be quiet. Or, and this is going on the complete extreme because I did this last night and it got me in such a good mood when I was almost falling on my bed. I just get into my playlist, my Afrobeat soca music playlist on Spotify, or my Spanish music that I'm enjoying, or even just whatever current hits that I've got in my playlist. And I just put it on in my ears and I just have my moment. You can't see me now, but I'm dancing. I just feel it. I feel it. And it just gets me like in the vibe and uplifted.
I've heard you talk about that before. And it's funny because you were picking up your water bottle then. I feel like recharging can be as simple as drinking water. And I know that's something that you're
huge,
big into as well. So there's a lot of power in simplicity, I think, when it comes to recharging. Okay, next question is self-care for me looks like.
Okay, so I would start with, honestly, I would start with the water. It really gives me such a good feeling. I can't explain it. Like literally physically the water running down through my, whatever you call it, esophagus. I don't know. Yeah. It just really makes me feel like I'm caring for my body and myself. It's that simple. I have this 2-liter bottle from Amazon. I take it everywhere. It is my staple. I can't breathe without it. And I drink at least one, if not one and a half a day. And the other thing is that I am selfish in the best possible way. I take time out for myself on a regular basis. She's amen.
Oh my God. She's talking. What does it say when you're like preaching to the Pope or whatever the saying?
Yeah, preaching to the choir. Pre-COVID, I would go out at night with friends or whatever, to events, wherever I could go. And I would make sure that my husband was set up and it was suitable for him to be able to take care of the children. I would make sure everything was ready and created. Sometimes even a night away, travel on my own, whatever it is that I wanted or needed to do. Now with COVID, it's as simple as saying to him, I just need a 2 hours on a Saturday or a Sunday. Would you mind being with the children, taking them out? He would take them to a park and just leave me to be at home. Yeah.
Take what you can nowadays, right? I think that's a really important point, though, that we're designed as mothers to think that being selfless is like giving up everything to your kids. But I actually completely disagree and think you have to be selfish to put your kids first, to show up as a good version of yourself, and not to deplete yourself in aid of having children. You have, you know, control over it. I know that there's different seasons to life and situations, but like we would never tell them to run themselves into the ground for anything. We can only preach from a point of showing them, like you were saying at the very beginning of this conversation, how can I tell them to go live their best versions of themselves when I hate my job and I'm telling them that?
Yeah, exactly. Precisely.
So prescribed to that way of thinking. And then my last question to you is, if you could give just one piece of advice, what would it be? It can just be the first thing that comes into your head. It doesn't have to be like...
I know, but
there's so much. It's hard to ask a coach this question, I think.
One piece of advice... Trust your instinct. No question about it. No question about it. And I say that not lightly. Listen to what it means, because we have instincts. They are there. we just feel them less and less because there's so much more media and noise. Busyness in our lives. Yes, noise, exactly. And so I remember a phrase that I used to use from when I was a student that I not coined, but like my best friend and I used to say to each other. And that phrase was trust the process, like trust in the process, just like whatever's happening, you know, trust the process. But it's more than that. It's especially when we're older and we're moms or we're working women, whatever, or men, whatever it is, we have to tap into that natural instinct to know whether something is right for us or not. And if working with a certain coach feels right or not, or buying, I don't know, whatever it is, the pair of shoes or the Vitamix or starting a new business or having another child, whatever it is, you know the answer. Sometimes you just need help to uncover it and let the instinct rise up and actually be heard. Mm-hmm. But I would say you got to trust your instincts more. We have to trust ourselves much more.
I wondered if, before we go, if that was something that you feel that you're able to listen to more because we've had this time at home, because it's definitely something that's come up from me. Maybe it's reading all these books that you have also read.
Wow.
But I've found like that bit of space, I've found it much more easy to like lean into thinking about my gut and like what feels right, not just going at it so hard that you didn't have a chance to have that feeling.
Absolutely. Because the thing is, truthfully, I'm quite an indecisive person. Very, actually. The more mundane the decision, I found it even harder to decide, which is crazy. But it's really forced me to... This is what I like always preach. You've got to like be very clear about what you want. And then you make you decide on what your values are around what that goal or what that dream is, whether it's multiple or just one. And then when it comes to decision-making, does it fall in line with the values and the goals? So that's it's not just, you trust your instinct, but it's based on the work that you've done to figure out where your instincts lie and what the truth is behind it. I totally agree. That's definitely forced us to do that because the kids have been around a lot more. We've had to really tune into what's behind all the noise.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'll just end by saying there hasn't been a decision because I'm the opposite. I'm quite decisive. I'm just like quick fire, like yes or no. But I think there's been a lot of noise crowding like big decisions for me. But anytime I've had a big decision to make and I've just trusted my gut, I've never for one second looked back. Even if the shit hit the fan, I've still been like, no, that was a good decision. Yeah. And it's because I really listened or just took that initial gut reaction and just gone with it rather than analyzing it to the end of the earth. Like you knew from the second you thought of it.
I will tell you one other quick story because I know we're done. I was faced with this opportunity about a month ago and I knew it was not the right opportunity. I knew it. So I trusted my instinct and I said, no, thank you very much. And on we went. But that doesn't mean I didn't feel FOMO. And that doesn't mean I didn't have a bit of, what do you call it? Like cognitive dissonance when you like buy something and then you question whether you should or you shouldn't have. So I had this like turmoil for about 24 hours afterwards. Should I have? Shouldn't I have? Should I have said yes? Maybe I should be more of a yes person. It doesn't mean I don't feel that. But then that subsides and I let it float by and I just get through it. And then I go back to realizing I know that that was the right decision. I know wholeheartedly. And yes, there's an absolute element of trusting ourselves that we need to be more confident in. Yes. Thank you so much, friend.
I could talk forever, but we'll have to come back and like hit another topic. I've really enjoyed talking about minxing mornings. I have your post-its. They are getting me through my day. I have your like lovely notebook. I feel like I can see you selling water bottles and all sorts of stuff in line with your values as time goes on. So very excited to see where this goes for you and what unravels. And just thank you for being a supporter of women. I think you're proof that we can all share bits of the same pie and we can all support each other and all just lift each other up. And that's what I really love about you. So thank you.
The exact same right back at you. The first time I ever met you, it was like instant. I was like, I need to be friends with her. That's it. Done. Thank you for all your support. And honestly, what you have done and what you've put out and the support that you provide to people is 100% remarkable. And I'm just honored to be able to help you facilitate what you were meant to do anyway.
Thank you. That means a lot. This is just the beginning for both of us, I think.
I hear you. Amen. Good.
We'll leave that there and I'll let you get to your day. And with much love, I will leave you. So thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast as much as I have enjoyed making it, please kindly rate, review and subscribe. It goes a long way to helping me continue doing this. I would love it if you gave me a follow on Instagram if you haven't already. I am at Franny & Co. You can also follow my new business, Care Club, which is at Care Club with Franny. For more info on the courses I'm running, workshops that are coming up in 2021, check out my website, frannyandco.com, for more info. I always love to hear from you guys, so drop me a DM or an email while you're there. Thank you for listening. Bye.